Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a COVID-19 update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, and talk to the DAV of Minnesota about veterans legislation. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Serving in the military can be a challenge. Our missions can be dangerous, and sometimes we're away from our families for longer than we'd like. Being in a military family can also be challenging, and juggling all of our family and military duties can sometimes get the best of us. I want you to know that when times get tough, there's a group of folks ready to lend a hand. They are the people of our Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Located in 10 communities across Minnesota, our Family Assistance Centers can help with ID cards, financial and legal concerns, TRICARE information, and can also offer referrals to community resources and networks. Participation is voluntary, confidential, and open to family members of all services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, both active and reserve component. To learn more or to locate a Family Assistance Center near you, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org or call 612-618-6927. That's 612-618-6927.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Larry Herkey was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019, and that was after he served over 30 years in the U.S. Army and the Minnesota National Guard. And Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's glad to be back with you again here in a little different circumstances, but glad to be back with you, Tom.
Yes, sir. It's a little bit different this month. I'm over at my conference room with Sergeant Ben, and we've got our Comrex equipment, and we've got Zach back in the studio, and of course, you're calling in, so the governor would be proud of us. We're keeping our distance and keeping everybody safe and healthy, sir.
Yep. It's important to keep that social distancing and to stay at home as much as we can.
Commissioner, last week we had on one of your deputy commissioners, Brad Lindsay, and he was talking about some funds that the state legislature appropriated for you for disaster relief and special needs grants for veterans financially impacted by COVID-19 or the coronavirus. And I understand that the process for applying for those grants started this past Monday, April 6th. I imagine the phones are ringing and things are getting pretty exciting.
Things are actually moving quite along. I received my update briefing here yesterday at 4 p.m., and we already had 852 uploads, distinct applications that had come forward primarily for the disaster relief grant. And of that, we've already queued about 170 of those have been found to have all the pieces and parts for sure. And believe it or not, we have 23 applications that have been fully processed and awarded. And those individuals will be seeing something probably sometime next week. We'll be in the mail to them a check for, in this case, for $1,000. And this is just a wonderful story. I'll tell you, I've never seen government work this fast, from just turning to my staff and saying we need to get a process in place that can keep people in their homes. We need to have some help, and it needs to be now. And we need to find a way to be able to process this without having to go in person, and we need to be able to do it over virtual means or through the computer system itself. And this has been, I think Brad walked you through the dates and so forth, but it's been about a month now since that time period. They included everything from development of the program, approval by the governor's office, approval by the legislature, and then actually processing the first applications here starting this last Monday.
Commissioner, the governor and the legislature moved about as fast on this $6.2 million of support as I can remember seeing in my lifetime.
I think so. It was unique. We did the committee meetings. We did those. We had both the Senate and the House together for the DFL side and did the same thing for the GOP side, and we were able to answer all the questions and make them feel confident that we could execute this dispersion and what the criteria was going to be and everything else. So we were able to do that. And it was just a unique experience, and did that also by phone, which was the first time I've ever given testimony by phone in that type of a manner. And I'd like to also say for my staff, they've done a wonderful job working with Minnesota IT to tease the system that we had for higher education. And we actually just modified that slightly to be able to accept these applications for the disaster relief grants.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, I understand there's two types of grants that you're working with, the disaster relief grant for $1,000 and a special needs grant for up to $3,000?
Correct, Tom. The disaster relief grant is pretty basic. You just have to demonstrate that you've been negatively financially impacted by COVID-19. That could be you, or that could be some of your spouse. So you might have less money coming into the family now based on the fact that maybe potentially one is unemployed or less than fully employed. And this grant is actually open for surviving spouses, too, of veterans, which is I think it's just great that they can also participate in this and to be able to help their families and so forth as we go forward. The requirements are pretty minimal. Just to be a surviving spouse of a deceased veteran or a veteran themselves, as defined by statute. You have to be a Minnesota resident, and you need to demonstrate that you've been financially impacted by COVID-19. The difference between the two is the disaster relief is just meeting those three items. The special needs grant is a little bit different. That one's not online. You have to go through your county veteran service officer. And, of course, each county has a CBSO that's available to them. Most of them can be contacted now via phone, but they've all been trained, and they're ready to help with the special needs grants, which will allow to pay for things like mortgages, if you have a car payment, if you have a situation in your home, let's say you have a roof that's leaking or something that needs to be taken care of, to ensure that the family is well protected and so forth in the home. Those special need grants are, again, worked with the county veteran service officer. They'll actually submit them on your behalf through the same portal system that they're using, and those grants will be processed also and sent out. The maximum amount of dollars for that is $3,000, so we can take care of a variety of things if you have quite a few bills coming up, to include utilities and those types of monthly bills. Also, we can sort of put all that together and help a family out that might not have the income they normally would have.
So, Commissioner, as I understand it, for a disaster relief grant of up to $1,000, they can either call 1-888-LINK-VET, or they can visit the website minnesotaveteran.org/COVID-relief. And if they need a special needs grant, then they should contact their county veteran service officer for help along those lines.
That's exactly true. The disaster relief, the $1,000 grant, is just, again, like you said, the website. And I went there the other day and did it myself. MinnesotaVeteran.org/COVID-relief. And it came right up for me. And if that doesn't work or you don't have access to a computer, you can use that 1-888 link that number that we use all the time for other issues as it relates to veterans.
Commissioner, we just got about a minute left in this segment. One of the eligibility items was a veteran or a surviving spouse of a deceased veteran as defined by Minnesota statutes. Is there a differentiation there between active duty troops that have retired and Minnesota National Guard troops? Are they all eligible, or is there some restrictions?
Well, there's a few nuances there. If you're an active duty soldier and you've served over 181 days on Title 10 orders, you are definitely eligible, and that's, you know, for everyone that's been in the Navy or Coast Guard or Marines or Army that's been on active duty definitely would be eligible. Many of our National Guard soldiers and airmen are also eligible because they've had consecutive days of 181 days in support of some type of deployment. So many of them will also meet the requirements. And then lastly, if by federal VA, because of disability, you have a disability that's been found by the federal VA, you also would be eligible for actually the disaster relief or the special needs grant.
Very good, sir. We're out of time for this segment. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And in the first segment, we talked about some relief grants that had been provided by the Governor Walz and the Minnesota Legislature, where they provided $6.2 million to support Minnesota veterans in the recently enacted COVID-19 response package. And that allows for veterans to apply for disaster relief grants of $1,000 or special needs grants for up to $3,000. And for all our veterans, if you want to do that, you can either call 1-888-LINK-VET or visit the website at minnesotaveteran.org/COVID-relief. And if you want to apply for the bigger grant, the special needs grant, then visit or call your county veteran service officer. And Commissioner, what a great program that the governor and the legislature are looking out for our veterans, and it's got to make you feel good as commissioner.
It's a great opportunity to be able to take care of our veterans, and this is the type of situation where we really need to invest in our veterans and make sure that they stay within their homes, where our hope is to get them back to work and be back productive here as soon as we can.
And Commissioner, as I think a lot of our listeners know, there's two sides of your programs over there. One is programs and services, and the other is the veterans' homes. And we've got one veterans home in Minneapolis, and I understand that they've had some COVID-19 exposure.
Yes, Tom, we've had our first positive case of exposure in the Minneapolis campus. This is something that we anticipated with, we have over 350 veterans there at Minneapolis, so it's something we anticipated and we've actually been practicing for. And I can tell you that we've taken all the appropriate precautionary steps as far as isolation and use of equipment. We're doing quite well with our personal protective equipment, or PPE, as you probably heard in the news quite a bit recently. And I can tell you that we're doing just what we do. And if we have a flu case, we do a very similar protocol where we isolate and we make sure everyone's informed. And the things that we're doing are a little bit different here is that we're actually screening our staff as they come in. They get an opportunity to be asked some questions as they come to work each day. And we also screen them for temperature to make sure they don't have a fever when they come on. But I can tell you that we're doing a good job. The individuals that are being taken care of there at the Minneapolis home, and I think we've been on top of this probably before many of the long-term care facilities in Minnesota. We've been a little bit ahead of the game because of precautions and just making sure that our average age of our residents is about 82 years old, so we want to make sure we're taking care of our heroes there at the Minneapolis and all of the homes in greater Minnesota also.
And Commissioner, we've observed that all the agencies in Minnesota are working together well with the governor, and I understand the Minnesota Department of Health has even provided you with an infection control specialist to make sure that you can isolate the one case out at the home and make sure all of our veterans are protected.
Yep, they do what's called a line check, and they see where this might have started from, and so we can help identify any other issues that might be within the home itself. And they've been very helpful. They were there the next morning after our report to them, and it's been good to see the different agencies within state government working so well together.
Commissioner, have any of your other operations for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs been impacted by the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, we have and a couple things I just want to touch on. Our adult daycare at Minneapolis is one of the items that we closed down earlier just to be able to reassign the staff and to have a little greater depth in the team there for the skilled care at Minneapolis. There has also been some changes, Tom, in our veterans cemeteries in order to comply with both the governor's stay-at-home order and the CDC guidance and the Minnesota Department of Health guidance on social distancing. And what we did at the cemeteries here is we're allowing direct interments without ceremony, and those committal ceremonies that normally happen, we just couldn't find a way to do that right now without being in violation of one rule or another. And so we are still taking direct interments at the cemeteries, so we're open for business, and we'll be able to do that. What we'd ask the families to do then, we'll schedule a time that we can actually have the ceremony conducted when it's safe and the stay-at-home order is no longer in effect. We have asked families of veterans that have cremains if they would wait a little bit on that, since it's not time-sensitive, and we'll take care of all those veterans when the pandemic here is over and the social distancing is not as much of an issue in the future.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, sad to hear that this virus has even changed the way that that we hold funerals, but nice to know that we can recognize those folks later. Moving on, with your staff, are they at the office? Are they teleworking? How are you dealing with all the great people that work for you over at the MDVA?
We had a great great support here. We were directed in a very short time to set up a situation where basically all my central staff there at the Capitol, and then our folks in many of the programs and services areas that Deputy Hughes is, our Deputy Lindsay is responsible for, had to go to a telework situation. We were able to do that fairly quickly. Within about a week and a half, we were able to get computers in the hands of people and get the counts set up and so forth, and the teleworking seems to be doing quite well. We're able to keep almost all of our other functions that we've had up and going. We have a couple people that go in each day just to answer the mail and scan the mail in. That's one of the few things that are still going on that's normal. Otherwise, majority of our work, almost all of it, is being done at home. And we've been doing a lot of virtual meetings and team meetings and so forth to be able to keep focused both on our regular operations and on the COVID-19 operations. But we've been very successful, and I can tell you that we are still doing all the rest of the functions that we normally do as far as taking care of higher education, employment, and all the other areas that we're responsible for.
So if our veterans all over Minnesota need help, the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs is still open for business, and you're still able to take care of our veterans on a day-to-day basis.
We're on the job. We're posted. We're ready to help out, and we're going to make sure that whatever your issue is, that that's taken care of, and that we get you the service that you're used to. Just a little different. We're maybe at the end of a telephone rather than walking into an office, but we're definitely there, and we're ready to help out all of our 308,000 veterans in Minnesota.
Commissioner, in the next segment, we're going to have on Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and he's going to tell us a little bit about how things have changed out there because he's trying to protect all of his patients out there. But for our veterans listening now, if they're not feeling well and they think they need health care, what would be your recommendation?
Well, we've talked to all the four VA health centers that are servicing Minnesota, and those are from Minneapolis, Fargo, St. Cloud, and Sioux Falls. And they all of them have asked us to call first. And I think you hear that even with on the civilian side, with the hospitals and so forth. But there's specific numbers that are available for each one of the locations, and those also can be found at my website at minnesotaveteran.org. I got a very distinct message from the commissioner. It's actually in the carousel. It goes around, but you can find it in a couple different places there. But the big thing that the veterans need to know is they need to call first, because they'll be given, based on what they have as far as symptoms, they'll be told what to do. So the main ones, again, that we're looking for is a fever over 101, cough, and shortness of breath. And just listening to the experts today, the shortness of breath is probably the one that is, you know, probably the most critical to figure out exactly where you are with that. But the key is to call first. Those numbers are on our website, and I just ask the veterans to do that. And I just ask, too, don't be too proud, like many veterans are, but too proud to ask for help. This is not the time to be too proud, because if we can't get the help to you when you need it, then it's going to be much more difficult to get you feeling better. So make sure you do make the call. They'll tell you what to do, whether it's stay at home, go to your local hospital, or if it's to, you know, call 911. They'll tell you one way or another exactly what you need to do. So I'd ask you just make those calls first before you go in and try to seek care at one of the urgent cares at the VA centers.
So as the commissioner said, call first if you need help. They're there, and you can find the numbers at minnesotaveteran.org. Commissioner, great talking to you today, and keep up the good work during this crisis, sir.
Tom, it's wonderful to talk to you, and hope to see you in person here soon.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. That was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining us now is Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thank you again for having me back.
Director, these are crazy times. I never thought I'd be living when we had a worldwide pandemic, and it was affecting the United States the way it is, and it's come home to roost here in Minnesota, so it's changed some things for you and all your great staff out at the Minneapolis VA.
Boy, has it ever. You wouldn't recognize this place from a month ago, so... You know, we're doing a lot of things, you know, largely in preparation for what is known to be a surge and more COVID-related activity in our state. But, you know, we used to be a bustling place over here. The flag atrium was full. I know you've been here many, many times. And boy, if you came over here now, first of all, that'd be hard because we have a no visitor policy right now. But it is a different place.
Director, my appointments have been pushed out a few months, and I hope I can come out there then. But can you bring us up to date on your policies for visitors and elective surgery and those things?
Yeah, Tom, thanks. So I want to emphasize to your listeners that we are still open for business. And what we have done is transitioned a lot of our business to telehealth or telephone and other strategies that ensure that we can take care of the veteran without putting them at additional risk or our staff at additional risk. So we are doing almost 80% now of our primary care appointments and mental health appointments over the phone, although we're still taking walk-in mental health patients. That remains a high priority. And we're still doing necessary care like dialysis for those patients and cancer care and necessary surgeries and all of that kind of work. And it's important for your listeners to understand that, you know, we are open 24/7, and we also have a nurse advice line that's available 24/7, and that's 612-467-1100, and that's a 24/7 nights, weekends, anytime. And so if they have questions, they're not sure they should come in, they can always talk to a nurse at that line. And the veterans have this nice urgent care benefit too that they can use if they need to. But we are trying to balance keeping all the right services available so that veterans are getting what they need with our need to sort of bring down the level of activity in the hospital, retrain our staff, and uptrain our staff so that we are more prepared for receiving COVID patients and the level of activity that's going to bring.
So, Director, we just had Commissioner Herkey on the show in the first couple of segments, and he was telling us for anybody that gets their health care at the VA, whether it's Minneapolis, St. Cloud, or others, the key thing today is if you need to come in, call first. Just call first, and then you can tell them how to get the best care possible.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. And again, veterans should think of that in terms of, you know, they are going to be healthier if they can stay away from the hospitals and sicker people, and they can get that good advice over the phone, and that nurse will advise them, or in some cases a physician will advise them what it is they think is the appropriate next step. And it might be coming to the hospital, but I think if veterans can call that number, that is better for them, better for us. And I think that distancing that we're all trying to achieve and that isolation, that social distancing and stay-at-home order that the governors extended, it's going to be better for the veteran and better for our health care providers. So I would strongly encourage that.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Director, routine primary care visits, selective surgeries, and those type of procedures, are they pretty much on hold for the time being until this crisis passes?
You know, Tom, the way that I would think about it, we'll talk about surgery first, is that we have this grid that we use when we're evaluating scheduled surgeries, and really the bottom line is, if it's an elective case that can be delayed without any potential harm to the veteran, we are delaying it. And if it's a case that, even if it's not an urgent case, but it's a case that may cause additional harm for the veteran, if they had to wait 2 months or 10 weeks, we are then doing that case. And so our surgery schedule has gone from maybe 40 to 45 surgeries a day down to 10 to 15, and that's a significant reduction. But it is to say, for the veterans who need those surgeries, and if they're going to get worse, we're still doing them. Primary care, similarly, you know, when we call veterans, we're trying to make a judgment about whether they delaying their care could potentially result in some harm. And so if it's a veteran who needs their annual exam and maybe they need their meds refilled, and normally we would do some labs in order to see how they're doing. Instead, what we're doing is we're extending their meds up through the point in time when we can get them back in and then do the labs and then do the more thorough review. But we're trying to make those judgments when we talk to the veterans on the line and see if it can wait. We reschedule or cancel. If we can do it over the phone, that's preferred. And so many visits you can do over the phone, so they don't have to be face-to-face. So the primary care doctors are making those judgments. But we are delaying a lot of them. And the ones that we're not delaying, for the most part, are being done over telephone or via telehealth.
And, Director, I was going to say this is a great time to use MyHealth eVet. I use it to get my prescriptions, and if I need to communicate with my primary care doctor or nurse, send in a message, and they usually answer real quickly. So during this crisis, that's a great tool.
Thanks for reminding me of that, Tom, because I use it too. That's how I get my prescriptions refilled, and that secure messaging is a great option. You know, we have standards where all of our providers are required to respond within 48 hours to a secure message using MyHealthyVet. And so again, if you're not feeling too sick, but maybe you're just kind of getting worried or concerned, you can call the number, or you can, if it's not as urgent, if you can wait 24 to 48 hours, MyHealthyVet is another great option. So thanks for the reminder on that.
Director, if one of your patients, one of our veterans, do have to come out to the VA Medical Center, I understand that you've set up a corona screening area, and it's over near the outpatient entrance.
Yeah, this was about almost, 3 weeks ago now, Tom, where we decided that we wanted to identify those veterans who we think that might be at risk. And again, we're asking those questions about, fever, cough, shortness of breath. Initially, we were asking if they traveled, but no, we're no longer asking the travel question since it's so prevalent here in the United States and even in Minnesota. So we identify those veterans, and then we get them into either the emergency room as needed or into another area that we have established only recently that we're referring to as the acute respiratory clinic, where we have nurses and doctors who can make that more detailed evaluation, do the testing if needed, get that chest x-ray, and that's right inside the entrance. So what we're trying to do is minimize those patients and those veterans who may be infected with the coronavirus from moving throughout our facility, and identifying them when they get here, so we can get them slotted into the right section, so they minimize other people's exposure and keep them and our staff safe in that process.
These are interesting times, Director, and sounds like you're taking a lot of precautions out there. I can't help but think about your doctors and nurses. They've all terrific people that like to take care of veterans, and I'm sure they're right now taking care of this coronavirus. How are you doing on hiring? You're looking for more people?
You know, we are looking for people, and one of the things that's unusual, unique, and really we're very fortunate in the VA is that we are not worried about generating revenue. So a lot of our hospitals in the community are losing business. You know, they are laying off nurses, they are furloughing doctors or reducing pay, and we have the luxury in many ways of being using this time to prepare and train our staff for a more robust response. And so we are hiring nurses. And so one of the things I think of in times like this, when nurses are being laid off or furloughed in where they work, the VA is a good opportunity for them to come over. And I mean, it might only be a temporary employment arrangement, but it gives them the opportunity to work during this time. And they may go back to work where they came from, or they may get here and realize that the VA is a great place to work, and they will, and we have positions, we will hire them on permanently. So yeah, we are part of our preparation for the surge is that we want to make sure we have the right kinds of nurses and doctors. And so we are absolutely hiring, and that includes support staff. And so unlike other healthcare employers these days, the VA is, we are very much in the hiring business right now.
And Director, one last quick question. You are there, you're open for business, and if your patients and your veterans need you, just all they have to do is get on the phone, 612-467-1100, and you're open for business and you're ready to take care of them.
We are, Tom, and again, veterans have been so supportive. I talked to the Commander's Task Force recently, the senior commanders in the state from the Veteran Service Organizations. Their only questions was, how can we help? So I am so blessed to be in this position at this time because we have a very, very supportive veterans community, and we're doing our best to take care of them.
Very good, sir. Be safe, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk to the DAV of Minnesota. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We have a new guest to join us right now, and his name is Trent Dilks. He is the adjutant of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. And Trent, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you for having me.
I'm happy that you could join us today. I understand you're sleep deprived. You had a new baby.
Yeah, we're adjusting to our first addition here in the Dilks family. So sleep has been rare and far between, it feels like.
Well, thanks for joining us today. We want to talk about a session that's coming up over at the legislature that you've been involved with for years called Veterans Day on the Hill. And because of the coronavirus, there's been some changes to that, and it's been canceled the way it's appeared in the last few years.
Yeah, unfortunately, with everything going on, we've had to cancel it. It was the right call to make, but it was a tough one. You know, we've been seeing veterans come from all over the state, dozens of charter buses from greater Minnesota coming in, and it was a tough call to make because it's been a really good event and growing year after year and over 1,000 veterans there. But we had to make the call to cancel the day, but we're definitely not canceling our advocacy.
Well, we have to keep everybody safe, and so that we can help you with that, 2 weeks from now, we're going to spend the whole show talking about those issues that the Commander's Task Force has worked on, along which, of course, you're part of that. Can you run us through some of the top legislative initiatives for this year?
Yeah, and right off the bat is one that I think a lot of people will be familiar with. We've got the enabling a one-time transfer for a surviving spouse of the property tax exclusion. And I've actually come to be known as the property tax guy. I've been working on this issue so long, and we did extend it to the lifetime of the surviving spouse. I'm still several times a month getting veterans and surviving spouses to reach out to me, and they're just discovering that. But now we'd like to finish the work and get it so that if a surviving spouse of a disabled veteran or one who passes away in service or as a result of their service wants to downsize or move closer to family, it'll truly be their benefit. So we'd like to get that done, allow them to transfer at one time. It's a solid proposal. When we look at the numbers, it looks like it will put larger family homes back on the rolls for the counties and some of the smaller ones into the exclusion. So we've got a pretty good agreement on moving forward with this one, but it got cut out last year, and we got to keep working on it.
Very good, sir. And I understand you're also working on developing some outdoor opportunities for our disabled veterans.
Yeah, and I was just in on a meeting with the DNR kind of right before this whole situation kicked off with the coronavirus. They are very receptive to finding ways. When we look at other states, when you look at some Colorado, Montana, Texas, they've found some really creative ways to get more and more veterans out hunting and fishing. If it's free licenses for 40%, 30% service-connected veterans, if it's bringing in disabled veterans from other states and letting them have access to some of the licenses without the out-of-state penalty. And there's just a lot of areas that we can look at to continue to get our veterans outdoors. And we believe there's a real need for that, and there's a real value to getting our veterans out there and get them back into nature.
We're speaking with Trent, the adjutant for the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Trent, seems like the last couple of years we're all working as hard as we can to end veteran homelessness in Minnesota and trying to slow down veteran suicide. I understand you're working on that as well with the state legislature.
We are, and all of the service organizations in the Commander's Task Force absolutely identify both as top priorities, and we really see that there's an opportunity, if we try to get ahead on these issues, that some of the efforts could lead to lowering and hopefully eliminating both by addressing some of the issues as they come up. So that's what we're really working on is you need stable housing. That prevents homelessness. It also prevents depression and some of the things that lead to veteran suicide. You need resources and points of contact that are clear to go to, and that's something we're really working on and supporting initiatives that would do that.
And I understand that this is high on the priority list for the governor and Commissioner Herkey over at the MDVA as well.
Yeah, and we're really, we've had some great conversations with Commissioner Herkey. I had a meeting with the governor as well, and we covered this topic pretty in depth, and I think there are some great ideas out there, and we look forward to supporting those initiatives and making sure that we can provide input and provide guidance, and then all service organizations can serve as a resource as we develop new and better models.
Trent, as we all know, yesterday the governor extended the stay at home for another 3 weeks. I think we've probably got some veterans who may be in crisis. They're at home. They've been quarantined for 2 weeks, and they're going to be quarantined for another three. You're still out there, and you're still available to help those veterans if they need it.
Absolutely. We are doing everything we can to assist our veterans during this time. Our staff is still on and working. Our claims office is still assisting veterans. This happened at a time where the Blue Water Navy veterans finally saw the recognition of their illnesses, and we have to do some serious work to find those who for decades were told, no, you don't get benefits, stop coming in here. Now we need to find them, get them into the system, get a claim. We need to find the surviving spouses of those. So they're still operating. We're still doing everything we can to outreach to our veterans, whether they're members or not, to see how they're doing and what they need.
And for more information, as usual, we can always go to davmn.org. Trent, we had in the last segment, we talked to Director Pat Kelly at the Minneapolis VA Hospital, and he told us they're open for business. They've changed what they're doing a bit. They had to tighten things up and check everybody when they're coming in and out. But if our veterans need to get there, they're supposed to call first, make the appointment. Is your transportation program still available to help them get to those appointments?
Our transportation program is still up and running. A lot of credit to we've got a dedicated staff that run five regional programs here in Minnesota, and then some amazing volunteers that are still out there. We're focused on, just like the VA, on the highest priority. We're bringing people in for dialysis, cancer treatments, blood testing if they're doing a blood thinner, things like that. We line up with the VA on that, but we're absolutely still every day getting veterans to their appointments, and getting them there safely and just trying to get through this and make sure they all have the care that they need. And transportation right now could be a greater barrier than ever with so many limited resources and people shutting down. So we're still out there. We're still getting veterans there and helping them out where we can to make sure they get the care that they need every day.
If a veteran needs transportation to get to the VA, how do they go about that?
I would, again, DAVMN.org, because we do have five different ones spread across the state. That is the best way to find a region. If you call any of the regions, any of the hospitals, they're going to be able to get you to the right person. But DAVMN.org has all of my coordinators listed, all of our resources. We've got 37 vans out there in Minnesota now giving rides. So there's a chance if you're somewhere in Minnesota, we'll be able to find a way to get you.
And you coordinate and work closely with the County Veteran Service Officers as well.
Oh, absolutely. They're a partner with ours as we've expanded. You know, over the last 4 years, we've gone from five vans to the 37 there, and that's been done in the large part to support the CVSO's missions and with their partnership and as we spread across the state and serve 50-some counties now in Minnesota. So they're a great resource and also one that you can reach out to your local CVSO. They know how to get a hold of us as well.
Very good. And once again, contact your County Veteran Service Officer or go to DAVMN.org. Trent, I want to thank you for taking time from changing diapers to be with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope everybody stays safe out there.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was Trent Dilks, the adjutant for the Minnesota DAV on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Trent Dilks, adjutant, the DAV of Minnesota, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about efforts to make Earth Day every day for the National Guard and the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.